Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We begin on day 26 of the government shutdown with a figure that might surprise you: how much the shutdown could cost the U.S. economy. According to some estimates, the economy could lose roughly $6 billion if the shutdown continues for another 2 weeks. In other words, the cost could be more than the $5.7 billion President Donald Trump is demanding for his border wall. And when Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell spoke to the Economic Club of Washington, D.C. last week, he pointed out just how unprecedented this situation is.
In the short term, if government shutdowns don't last very long, they have typically not left much of a mark on the economy, which isn't to say that there's plenty of personal hardship that people undergo, but at the aggregate level, the economy generally does not reflect much damage from a shutdown. A longer shutdown is something we haven't had. If we have an extended shutdown, I do think that would show up in the data pretty clearly.
So just how much is the shutdown costing the U.S. taxpayer? And when this whole thing is over and federal employees finally receive their back pay, what will the long-term economic damage be? Here to help us out is CNBC senior economics reporter Steve Leisman. Steve, it's nice to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
So we threw out some pretty big numbers at the top, a $6 billion estimate on what this could cost us. Where are these estimates coming from, and what exactly do they represent?
Well, you have a private sector economist, and now the White House, in a story that we broke yesterday, actually doubling their estimate of the cost of the shutdown. What they do is they look at the wages that are earned by the federal workers. They look at the wages that are earned by the private contractors. They look at the amount of input to the economy by the government. And they come up with about a 0.1% subtraction every week. And for the White House, that's double their prior estimate. They were at 0.1% every 2 weeks, but they took a little finer pencil to the accounting there, and they doubled their cost estimate here. And they think about the broader economic activity that their wages spurn. Now, you have to say that after some point in time, the economy will get back some of it, because at least the federal workers will get their wages back, but not necessarily the private contractors. And you're starting to read some pretty dire stories about some of these small firms and medium-sized businesses that do business with the government that basically can't get by and pay their workers and their health insurance and those sorts of things if they don't get checks from the government for their work, even the back checks for works they did in November for a month or so.
And Steve, I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about the costs of government shutdowns tends to end up costing more money than keeping the government open. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a couple things. First of all, governments bring in revenue, and part of the issues are the extent to which the government can bring in revenue. And I assume also that there's some feedback from the people who get their work and pay their taxes back to the government. There's just different ways that the government actually adds to economic activity and its ability to gather revenue.
Now, we hear a lot of talk about this. Economists often say it's costing us, and that's us in quotes, money. Right. Who is it really costing? What is it that everyday Americans are feeling, or how are they feeling this loss, if at all?
Well, I think the way I think about impacts like this, and we maybe come back to this, but it's a similar to an impact of a hurricane, is you draw sort of widening concentric circles. Start with the individual and the workers not getting their paycheck. Broaden it out to the community, especially communities that rely heavily on either federal dollars or rely on a lot of federal employment. And then broaden it out that, you know, I did some work on this, and there are 879,000 workers in the metropolitan statistical area of Milwaukee. So there are 800,000 furloughed federal workers. So it's as if the entire metropolitan statistical area of Milwaukee was not getting a paycheck for a month. And just getting back to the hurricane idea, you have these situations where it happens and there's a deep hit to it, and then you have a kind of rebound from the additional spending. You don't have that. So we all sort of feel it, and it's also probably worth talking about, you know, the federal government provides services that people use. There are parks and there are all sorts of things that the federal government does that we pay our taxes for and we get it. We're not getting those services now. in some ways, obviously, because it's a partial shutdown.
Right. But, I mean, and there are also a lot of banks and businesses that have been supportive or pretty supportive of the president so far. Are you hearing anything from the financial sector in terms of how they seem to be viewing the shutdown?
I don't hear a backlash at this moment against President Trump, if that's what you're asking. I do think that there's a lot of exasperation. I think it's worth maybe pointing out that this president was supposed to be a boon to business in terms of providing stability and support for businesses. And in some way, he has been, I guess, the corporate tax cuts and some of the deregulation. But there are vast areas where the president of this administration has added to uncertainty. And I think you can lop in this extended government shutdown in with the trade tensions in there and the otherwise, volatile foreign policy and other ways that this administration makes policies in a way that is not friendly to business. You can have an example of companies that have to kind of line up for exemptions from their tariffs. So lop it all together, and what you have is you have declining confidence among CEOs. And the concern is, you know, you go back to the tax cuts, and the president's express desire there was to boost capital spending. Well, one of the things that's a huge inhibitor to capital spending is uncertainty. So we hear stories of businesses that are holding back on capital spending because of the uncertainty from a variety of policies, and I think the government shutdown is one of them.
Well, we also heard Delta CEO this week saying that the government shutdown was affecting what they were trying to do in terms of new products and getting new things to market. Jamie Dimon, who is one of the president's economic advisors, actually said yesterday on a conference call for Q4 that he wants this shutdown to come to a conclusion. So it does seem to be that there are folks wanting this to end, even on the business side. I'm wondering, you know, we all talk about having a credit rating, Steve. We don't have to talk about our personal credit scores here, but the United States kind of has a credit rating. And is this going to affect it?
Not the shutdown itself. The question is what happens with the debt ceiling. That is something that tends to impact the rating agency's views of America. And if this shutdown tells us that, I believe it's later this year that the debt ceiling, in other words, our ability to borrow, to raise the amount of debt that we borrow, if that becomes obstructed and this shutdown and the impasse in Congress tells us that we might be headed for a more serious financial problem, which is a debate over the debt ceiling, then yes, the credit rating would be affected in that regard,
And we also saw that there was a credit rating agency that said that, named Fitch, that said that this could actually jeopardize our AAA rating here. So something to think about. What about the SEC? What's happening with them? How is this impacting or the shutdown being impacted by what's happening at the SEC?
I'm going to tell you, Tanzina, I'm not 100% sure. I know that they are affected by this, that a lot of their workers have been furloughed. I have been dealing with several government agencies. Some officials have called me themselves to discuss things when normally their workers would call me or call me back, for example, their public relations people. But now the principal calls me, which is obviously good for me as a reporter. I talked to one official who asked me not to use their name because they are forbidden being on furlough from doing government business. I don't know the extent to which the SEC has had limited enforcement as a result of their of workers being furloughed there.
The last May, I mean, we've been shutting down the government, not just isn't something new. We've seen this happen for decades. And the last major shutdown was in 2013, when the White House's Office of Management and Budget estimated at that time, 2013, that the country had lost $2 billion, that's billion with a B, in productivity because of the fact that federal workers were sent home. The credit rating agency Standard & Poor's put the overall cost to the country at $24 billion. Again, we're talking about 2013, government shutdown. Were there long-term economic effects, Steve, after that shutdown?
I don't think so. And I think we do have issues now, because the longer this lasts, we are in a pretty tight labor market right now. And one of the longer-lasting economic impacts you can imagine is that workers say, the heck with this. I'm not working for a company that every now and then is going to make me work for a month without or longer without a paycheck. And so you can imagine that some of these workers have better employment opportunities. And so at the end of this, they may have trouble finding people. I know they were having trouble finding people to begin with, so they may have more difficulty that way. again, I think the overall disruption to business, the volatility to business is something that, that creates uncertainty. Wall Street doesn't mind very much when there's gridlock. They sometimes they say this is a good thing, that the government won't be passing any new laws. I think they mind when there's a shutdown. Look, government is 20% of the economy. And obviously, it's only a partial shutdown, but you don't lose a chunk of the economy without businesses across the spectrum. And frankly, American citizens across the spectrum feeling some impact of that. And that's, you know, we're kind of waiting to see what happens with TSA employees and that sort of thing, where you get major disruptions to air travel, major disruptions to commerce and transportation. That's when the hue and cry might finally reach those people with the power to end the shutdown.
What happens, Steve, if this continues as it appears to continue with no end in sight at this point?
Well, there are increasingly dire forecasts here. It began with the White House upping its estimate of the shutdown, but there are other private sector economists who think that growth in the United States could go negative, or essentially the economy could shrink in the first quarter as a result of this. For reasons that are probably not worth explaining on air here, but the first quarter is statistically weaker than the other three. It's a problem in the data. Everybody knows about it in the business. And so you're starting off from probably a weaker base. You take that off, you add the trade tensions to it. What happened is there were these things that were not big by themselves. For example, economists estimated that the problems with trade and tariffs might take off 0.1 or 0.2. And then they thought, oh, well, another 0.1 or 0.2. And then you lop that into the idea that the first quarter starts off from a weaker base. And at least Ian Shepherdson from Pantheon Macroeconomics, he thinks it's possible to have a negative first quarter. And a negative first quarter on top of a, you know, for Wall Street, obviously you've been following what's been happening. We had 1,000-point swings and a pretty substantial drop in stock prices. And that was before the shutdown, right? So you had concerns about global economic weakness. You had concerns about the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, the trade tensions that I keep mentioning. And then you lop on the shutdown. You keep adding up 0.1, 0.2, 0.2. And all of a sudden, if you're starting on a 2% base, well, you've whittled away a good chunk of that growth that we were otherwise going to have.
Steve Leisman is a senior economics reporter at CNBC. Steve, thanks so much. It was great having you on.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And on day 26 of the government shutdown, we're still hearing from you.
Hey, this is Chris from Denver, Colorado. I am a federal government employee, but I think that no one is talking about the contractors. The contractors, which there are hundreds of thousands of, are not going to get paid back. These people are very often not able to eat right now, so I don't understand why we aren't talking about them.
Yeah, Roger from Downingtown, Pennsylvania. My take is that if they would have addressed the problem from the get-go, nobody be boo-hoo-hooing right now. As far as the government workers, no sympathy. They got great jobs, they got great pensions, they got great benefits. I feel no pain for them.
My name is J.D., and I'm calling from Petaluma, California. I think the federal shutdown is a sham. I think it is very irresponsible, and it is not showing respect for those who serve our nation, all in the name of irresponsible government and leadership trying to build a wall between two non-warring nations.
Hi, this is Alan Johnson from Gardner, Massachusetts. I believe the federal employees have every right to slow down or even stop work at this point. The government needs to get back to work.